So grateful that you're here today. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, and if you don't, it will be on the screen in front of you behind me. Hear the word of the Lord, Grace Life. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord, Grace Life Church. Thanks be to God. Well, last week, Mike left us off, Philip was traveling to Samaria to share the gospel with non-Jewish people. And so we saw the beginning of gospel expansion. If you remember last week, or maybe a couple weeks ago, we talked about how we started the year with the book of James and how that was the gospel on the ground, right? Putting hands and feet to our faith, what it looks like to apply the gospel and live it out with our lives. Well, if we could, we kind of toyed around with calling this the gospel on the move, because that's what it is. It's the heart of the gospel that's moving throughout the local church and spreading just like Jesus said it would, first in Jerusalem and then to Judea and Samaria, right, and to the ends of the earth. So this is the Acts 1:8 promise being fulfilled here. But the church is continuing what Jesus started. Remember what Jesus said: "They're going to kill me. I'm going to go to the grave, and they're going to bury me for 3 days. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to hang out for about 40 days, that's my addition. And then I'm going to be whisked away back up to heaven. And then guess what? I'm going to send you my spirit 10 days later. And God's going to work through you. The gospel's going to continue to be on the move. And they're going to continue what Jesus started." Let me ask you a question to begin things here. How are you and I engaging people, our family, our workplace, our neighbors, this community, the culture around us, with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because that's what the early church did. And I know we say, "Oh man, Brian, that's a different time. It just wasn't as hostile then." In the words of Mike Wimberly, really? You know what I'm saying? It was just as hostile, right? Now, it hadn't gotten any better, right? It just, one hostility leads to another. But I mean, everything that we pray this morning, there's hostility all over the world. And ultimately, they're hostile toward the gospel. Before thing is a physical problem or a mental problem or a problem of selfishness or whatever it is, right? There's a heart problem, right? We're all of us, this preacher boy included, sin sick. And I try to have, for years, I tried to solve a God-shaped hole problem with something other than God. And you know what? It's just like a Tennessee fan during football season sometimes. It just doesn't work, you know? It just doesn't work. So how are you and I engaging others with the gospel? In Acts chapter 1 through 4, remember this, and a A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, these would be our first 8 weeks together in September and October of 2020. We saw a time of new beginnings as the early church was established. And in these opening chapters of the book of Acts, church, we saw the model, the mission, the humility, the commitment, the power, the preaching, the nature, and the character of the early church. And Mike and I still talk about how much we loved that opening series. We saw all of that. And then 4.5 years later, we move into chapter 5-7. It didn't take us 4.5 years to get there. We kind of skipped around some. But so far in this series, we've witnessed the gospel on the move. That Jesus established all that, the mission, right? The nature, the character, the preaching, what the church was going to devote themselves to. And now in Acts chapter 5 and 7, it's beginning to be on the move. We've looked at the purity of the gospel in the lives of the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Things didn't end so well for those two. We looked at the defense and the cost of the gospel through the life of Stephen 2 weeks ago. And last week, as we began Acts chapter 8, Mike helped us see the gospel continuing to move forward through what? Philip was preaching the gospel in Samaria. Now think about this. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria. So guess what? Gospel's on the move. You see that with me? It's doing what Jesus said it was going to do. Through him preaching the gospel in Samaria, Simon the magician believed the gospel. All the while, Saul continues his quest to ravage against the church, right? And so our text this morning brings us more information about Philip's continued obedience of preaching the gospel that calls us to engage the culture, the world, and the people we meet along our journey. And so that's where we're going this morning in a, believe it or not, short sermon. Somebody say, don't you say amen. I'm just kidding. Let's go back and look at the first three verses, Acts 8, 26 through 29, and we see the first thing from this text. Luke writes, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place, and just like every teenage child of ours.' And he rose and went." He did what he was supposed to do, right? And all parents of children are shaking their heads, saying, "God help Brian this morning." "And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah." This is amazing. "And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.'" Here I think we first see the opportunity to engage others with the gospel. God gave Philip an opportunity to engage others with the gospel. We see in this passage, Philip has an opportunity that lies before him, right? Think about it. He's been told to leave where he is, and he's headed down this desert road. It sounds like a bad 80s song, doesn't it? Right? And he's going to meet a man who he doesn't know. Notice that Philip was told this information by an angel of the Lord. We don't know the particulars, but we know that this was a supernatural occurrence. We also don't know a lot about this man that Philip was supposed to meet, right? But what we do know about this man that Philip was supposed to meet, we know and we learn that he was an Ethiopian, which means that he looked a little different than Philip and he talked a little different than Philip. He probably smelled a little different than Philip. He didn't dress like Philip. You see where I'm going with this, church? I'm trying to give it away. Notice the subliminal message in all of this, right? He was in a chariot, and he was a high official in the royal court. He was a eunuch, and he was on his way to worship in Jerusalem, right? So think about this. He was an Ethiopian, right? Now most likely the Ethiopia that's mentioned here referred to a kingdom that stretched from modern-day Ethiopia, okay, through Sudan all the way up to the southern part of Egypt. So I don't know if it's the actual modern-day Ethiopia that we have today. But we also learned that this man was in a chariot. He was a high official, right? More than likely, he was quite wealthy. He had money. After all, not everybody had chariots. He was a high-ranking official, so he probably had great wealth, okay? Other things that we know about him. We learned that he was a eunuch. Not everybody knows what a eunuch is, but that's something that I will explain in I'm not going to explain in detail in mixed company. It's enough to say that a eunuch is a man who has had his body altered in a way that he can be trusted to be in the presence of a queen or a princess without something inappropriate happening. Kids, if you have questions about that, you can ask your parents. Adults, if you have questions about that, Mike will be available after the service, and he will answer everything. I'm going to lunch with Tammy. So anyways, so we know that he's a eunuch. Finally, we learn that he was on his way to worship in Jerusalem. Now, there's no explicit evidence that this man was a Jewish convert, okay? The Bible doesn't tell it, but it does appear that he was interested in learning about the God of Israel and worshiping in Jerusalem. I mean, for crying out loud, he's reading the scroll of Isaiah, right? I mean, this doesn't just happen. So this man's heart was perhaps already open to hearing the message about this Jewish Messiah named Jesus that came and changed the world. Notice what the Ethiopian man was doing. Again, reading a book of Isaiah aloud. What'd you do on Saturday? Well, I read the book of Isaiah aloud, right? I mean, it just doesn't happen. The book of Isaiah contains some of the most powerful prophecies concerning Jesus the Messiah. We read a lot of them at Advent and Christmas time, right? We're reminded about that. So when we see in verse 29, right here, we see the Spirit of God told Philip to go and join the chariot in verse 29, and he did so. The Bible says he ran toward it because he was in touch with the Spirit of God that was at work. R. Kent Hughes writes this. He says, being in touch with the Spirit, Philip was open to the Spirit's direction. The sensitivity to divine guidance is a major factor in becoming the touch of God to others. I thought that was very, very, very well said. He goes on in verse 30. Let's pick up, see what Philip does. Verse 30 says this. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? You remember that first person that came to you and said, do you understand the story of Jesus? I found myself thinking back to those first people and how I was so grateful. I found myself thinking back to being raised in a Christian home and having parents and grandparents that told me the story of Jesus with their lips and with their lives. And he said in verse 31, how can I unless somebody guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, like a lamb that was before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. He is Jesus. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. You see the obedience of engaging others with the gospel here? He obeyed. The Spirit of God led him. And shucky darn, he just obeyed, Mark. He just did what he was supposed to do. And you go, Brian, is it really that simple? The answer is yes. As God gives us opportunities to tell of the old, old story of Jesus and his love, he just expects us to be obedient when God opens these doors. Now, I want you to think about this. Philip was obedient, right? He was not only obedient to the angel of the Lord that told him to go down to Gaza, which is Gaza of today, all right? Not much going on over there either, huh? Whew, my goodness. He was also obedient to the Spirit who had told him to go join the chariot, right? And he was reading this passage from Isaiah 53. And I believe PJ read that same passage during Advent season from this pulpit. Now, Philip was intuitive here. Philip was intuitive to the opportunity that was before him. When the angel of the Lord and the Holy Spirit spoke to him, he was paying attention for the specific opportunity to launch into a gospel conversation. How about you? I went to lunch a couple times this week, and those times were specifically, it was completely shady, it was beautiful, to engage people in gospel conversations that needed to be engaged in gospel conversations. Do you do that? You know? Or do you go to lunch just to rant and rave on what's going on, right? I've been there and done that too. But I mean, are we intentionally creating spaces for gospel conversations to take place? Well, Philip was not just in touch with the Spirit. He was also in touch with the gospel here. He understood what was being read from Isaiah, right? He understood. He sensed the opportunity to tell this man about Jesus, and he asked this transitional question to further open a door for this man to hear about Jesus. Philip didn't say, well, now that's a confusing prophecy. I sure hope you've had Old Testament Hebrew. Good luck with that. No, he didn't say that. He sensed an opportunity to further open the door for the gospel, and he obediently took advantage of that opportunity. He asked a man this question, right? And then the man answered it. He said, how can I understand unless someone guides me, right? What a perfect setup. That would be like an assist in volleyball. Like they would just, somebody would just take it and just, and then like somebody just spikes the heck out of it, right? That's the, I mean, it was a perfect setup. It was like a Scottie Pippen to Michael Jordan assist. That's exactly what he did. And then scripture, verse 35 says, Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus Christ. James Montgomery Boyce, longtime pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, says this: the principle here is clear. All of us are called to be in touch with the Spirit and with the gospel. All of us should be able to explain Christ from the scriptures. Unfortunately, too few can do so. We've been engaging pre-K through fifth graders with the gospel of Jesus Christ for the last month on Wednesday nights. Have we not, VBS team? We've been doing that, haven't we? Intentionally. This week, I'm going to go ahead and share this with you. Parents, in case you didn't know, we're going to get on minivans and vehicles. We're going to feed your kids. We're going to take them to crossings, and we are going to engage them with the gospel. We're not just going to the lake, so it's okay. The gospel is infused into everything that they're going to be a part of this week. And it's you know, some of the greatest things that I see is some of the kids, you're not going to believe this, they actually turn their cell phones off. Now, mama can always get me or PJ, right? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's fine. But I'm just saying, I mean, sometimes they just want to be through with the noise, right? I mean, are we in touch with the Spirit and the gospel as Philip was? He sensed the opportunity. He obediently followed through. How about you? How about me? Do we do the same after what Philip has modeled? Let's close out the passage, 36 through 40. And as they were going, you know, that's the best kind of evangelism, isn't it? As we are going. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, I mean, this is just what everybody says, right? When you talk to him about Jesus the first time. See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? That never happens, ever. So this is a supernatural work of God. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. When he passed through, he preached the gospel to all towns until he came to Caesarea. See, the gospel's on the move, right? Here's the outcome of engaging others with the gospel. Not everybody is going to believe, church. Not everybody's going to believe. There are people in this world that will never believe. We don't know who those people are, so what is our job? We preach the gospel to everyone, and we encourage everyone to repent and believe, don't we? And we let God sort it out, as Tammy always says. Listen, I'm not good enough to do the sorting, neither are you. But I tell you what, I'm just stupid enough to realize that I'm supposed to be obedient and that God uses broken people to further his gospel. Can we say that this morning, church? We don't know all the details of their discussion, but it appears to contain much more than the prophecy of the book of Isaiah here, right? What belief and what obedience from this man, the outcome that he believed Philip's message and he demonstrated his belief by being baptized, right? So think about this. Here's the results. The outcome for the Ethiopian, he believed the gospel and he was baptized. And the outcome for Philip, he was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to continue to preach and spread the gospel. This is what God does. I mean, you see, my goodness, Beth, you see missions in this. You see all of this. I mean, it's just unreal. I just think about what, again, you think, I mean, all this stuff that we're giving for Operation Christmas Child, you just think, man, it's just a pencil, but it's so much more. It opens up the door to the gospel. You say, my goodness, the big gift is a soccer ball. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's football everywhere except for America, right? But I mean, like, that. Sometimes that opens a door for this gospel to be preached to the ends of the earth, which is exactly what Acts 1:8 says it's doing. So when we do that, we're participating in something that's globally blowing our socks off here. So the Spirit took Philip from Gaza to Azotus, and he made his way to Caesarea, right? So we see, again, the outcome of Philip's obedience and the opportunity that was before him. Tim Keller says it beautifully. He says, if Philip had not loved people with Christ's love, he would not have ever reached over the substantial barriers between Samaritans and Jews. It was the same with the Gentile Ethiopian. God's path leads to people, right? Because Christ came and died for a people. He purchased people. So here's some closing thoughts for us before we move into our time at the Lord's table. To bring a touch of the Master's hands to those around us, we've got to do some things, church. Scripture calls us to daily yield to the Holy Spirit's guidance. You know, somebody told me one time, said, Brian, I'm really having a hard time hearing the Holy Spirit. And I go, I've been there. And I may be there again. But are we daily yielding to the Spirit? The Spirit is active, right? We don't understand the Spirit of God, but we know that He's at work. Don't you feel Him sometimes at work, leading you and guiding you? We are to understand and proclaim the gospel. Look at that first word. We've got to understand the gospel before we can proclaim it. Now, I'm not saying that God can't work through bad theology. He's done that through lots of churches for a long, long time. But we've got to understand the gospel. We are called to discipleship. We have created spaces from day one here for us to hear the gospel on Sunday mornings through song, through word. We've created opportunities at midweek during age-graded Bible studies. We've created opportunities through small groups that are being led in homes throughout this community. We are creating spaces for people to understand the gospel. And they are having the gospel proclaimed to them by their small group leaders and by their teachers, right? And the teams that are a part of things there. Are you taking advantage of those opportunities that you have here? Do you understand first and then proclaim the gospel to those around you? And then do you? We've got to love people with God's love. Man, I'm struggling loving some people right now. When we came to walk through the communion service yesterday, I mean, Irvin and Dad, I think Mike maybe might have heard me just struggling to love somebody that's in my family that right now I'd rather go take care of her dog more than, you know, I just struggle because there's self-centeredness and there's narcissism and there's all kinds of stuff. And that's stuff that I don't want to be a part of, right? And then God kicks me when I get home. He goes, yeah, Brian, that's in you, were it not for my grace, right? Not so fast, Brian. That we love people with God's love because I can't love them in and of myself. The only way that I can love you is because God loved me first, yes? So here's my final thought before we move into the table. Grace Life Church, as we seek to be salt and light in a dark and tasteless world, may we, beginning this week, look for opportunities that God brings our way, just like Philip, he brought Philip's way. May we be obedient to engage people with the gospel. And in order to engage them with the gospel, we've got to study and know the gospel first. And then, again, pushing back from the table and leave the outcome and the results to the Lord. Philip was just obedient to what God called him to do. And he left the rest to God. And so this morning, as we think about the gospel on the move and how it calls us to engage others, will we be so bold in this dark and weary world to engage it with the light of Jesus Christ and the glory of the gospel? And when we do so, not only is God pleased and glorified in our life, but that gospel's advanced and other people have the opportunity to know the truth that has set you and me free. And I offer this to you this morning, church, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let the church say amen.